Hello, hello, fearless listeners. Are you ready for another episode of Let Fear Bounce? It's the podcast that's all about conquering challenges and facing our fears. I'm your host, Kim Langling, and each week we'll dive into inspiring stories, expert insights, and practical tips to help you turn your fear into your greatest ally. So sit back, relax, grab that cup of coffee, and let's discover how to make fear our bouncing board towards a life filled with endless possibilities right here on Let Fear Bounce. Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Let Fear Bounce. This is Kim Langling, your host, and I am so glad that you are spending just a small part of your day with myself and my special guest today, Ruth Thompson. Now, she is the founder of the Anna Shelter. And this is a no-kill shelter, folks, located in Erie, Pennsylvania. And she founded this shelter in 2004, starting out by renting kennels from veterinarians' offices, renting other spaces from different places such as flower shops. And now, all these years later, 20 years later, she has her own brick and mortar, which has expanded tremendously. And she does so much for so many animals, for all those animals that are needy and neglected and abused. She provides a safe haven for them until they can find their forever homes. And I have been so excited about this conversation. So Ruth Thompson, founder of the Anna Shelter, welcome to Let Fear Bounce.
Thank you so much. What a beautiful introduction. Thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Oh, you are more than welcome. Now, I had the pleasure, myself and a friend of mine had the pleasure recently of visiting you at the Anna Shelter and giving a tour and hearing more about the story of how you do things, how the shelter is run. And we got to meet many of the dogs and cats, and even some birds were there. Yeah. The day that we were there, but you have more than one building. It's not just dogs and cats. First off, share a little bit about you and why you wanted to do this 20 years ago, because you've been at it for a while. So obviously it's in your heart and it's in your passion, but how did that begin for you?
You know, that's exactly what it is. I mean, since I was a little girl, and I was actually just joking the other day with my mom, I very vividly remember walking through the alley behind, we lived in an inner city neighborhood, walking through the alley at, like, you know, 7, 10 years old, calling for stray cats and trying to get them to come to me so that I could bring them home with me. And I remember very specifically, you know, dragging them if I could catch them or find kittens to take them home with me. And I remember one time saying to my dad, there was a dog running on the street. And I said, Dad, pull over, you know, we have to pick that dog up. And he said, no, it'll go home. And he said, I think he mentioned, like, oh, the police department will come get it. And I again remember saying, I said, well, someday when people find dogs, I want them to bring them to me. And now I laugh when I have a shelter right now. We have 84 dogs in the shelter and 113 cats as of today. And like you said, we've got parakeets right now. But I laugh sometimes thinking like, oh, girl, careful what you wish for, because you know, here they are all coming to you. So,
but, you know, to look back and see that at such a young age, that's where it began. So, you know, obviously it's been, you were born with it.
Oh, girl, I am living my passion, and it's literally, it's my life. It's where I need to be, where I have to be, where I want to be. So it doesn't feel like work, which is a real blessing. But it is, it's a lot of work, but I love it. And you couldn't pay me any amount of money to go anywhere else. It's me.
And you have.
Yeah. Humane police officer.
Okay. Humane officer. You have a humane officer on staff. You have a few other folks on staff that help with the daily care of the animals and maintenance of the buildings and such. But how many buildings do you have now that house these animals?
So altogether, we have 6 buildings. We don't have an actual campus. They're kind of spread out, including a farm. So we have specific areas for specific needs that have grown, you know, with the shelter. So property management was my thing in college, and I started my own property management company when I was 20-ish, 2021. So that has helped me as well, having some extra property to maintain these animals and the functions and what we do. So yeah, we've got a lot, actually a staff of 39. We have 50 volunteers that are registered because, you know, we pay insurance on them. It's a physical job. So I want to make sure they're protected. So it's a lot. It's way, way bigger and way more encompassing than I ever imagined. We handled just over 8,000 animals last year. Which, you know, just for a shelter our size is a lot. I know there are shelters that handle way more than that, but for us, for our area, it's a high volume. So yeah, we need the space. Obviously, you know, those animals have to be housed and housed comfortably. So yeah, we've expanded to meet the need.
And not only do they need to be housed and housed comfortably, but so often is the case, they need medical care. How do you address the medical care with some of these neglect or abuse cases that you deal with?
Yeah, it's taxing. So we have veterinarians on staff, which was a real game changer for me. And it's been like that the first 10 years I contracted with veterinarians, but I've had my own veterinarians on staff for the last 10 years. And that was a game changer. You know, it got me a pharmacy license. It got me access to things that we would have been paying retail for. So I'm able to do so much more with those resources. And my vets are fantastic. I mean, they're fantastic veterinarians and they have a heart for rescue. You know, they're not worried about driving a fancy car. They're worried about taking care of these animals. So blessed to have been, you know, have those people in my life and on my team, because that has made such a difference in what we're able to do for whomever that needs us. So that's a big one, though. Right underneath payroll, the medical expense, we call it extraneous medical, because every animal that comes in needs the basics. But then more often than not lately, especially with our cruelty department, this morning at 5 o'clock in the morning, the state police called with a hit by car dog. You know, we need to render aid until an owner is found. And, you know, you never know what you're getting into. So yeah, having the equipment, having the veterinarian, having the license, that has made a big difference in what we're able to do.
Oh, I can't even imagine. And it's going to be so much cost saving too on your end, because running a nonprofit, especially as you grow and the way you have grown over the years, people think nonprofits, you know, everybody just gives and you can just run it easily. Yeah. That is the farthest thing from the truth.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think growing up in a family business, I used to get kind of irritated with my friends would say, like, well, can't your parents give us that for free? Or people would call and ask for things for free. And I was like, my parents have to pay for that. You know, they didn't get it for free. Like, yeah, we're reselling it. But, and that was obviously a for-profit business. But I always remember that something costs somebody something. And I've never, never, ever been one. We don't do GoFundMes. We don't do, our fundraising is so limited to just the people's support. And I have always felt like, if you value what we do, if you respect us as a group, you're going to support us. And that's the only kind of support that I want. And, you know, a donor that gives us $10 or somebody that is able to give us $10,000, they're all equally as appreciated. So I'm a grassroots, every penny counts kind of girl, and I'll never be anything but that. So.
And I appreciate that. I appreciate that heart and mindset for that.
Yeah. I mean, I've never ever been about money. I mean, I will have people call and say, you know, we have a waiting list right now for dogs because we are a true no-kill shelter. So people want to bring their dogs in if they can't keep them anymore. And they'll say, well, I'll give you a $500 donation. I'm like, dude, it's not about that. It's literally about the space, you know, and I can't overcrowd. So owner surrenders always fall to the bottom of my list because, hence the name needy and neglected animals. I mean, that's what I'm there for. And just because you don't have time for your pet anymore, or you're moving, I want to help. I mean, that's what I do. I'm a helper by nature and that's my heart, but you might have to wait. So it's never been, I won't even, we have such an amazing social media presence. It's crazy. But I refuse to sell ads on any of our pages only because I feel like, I don't know, I feel dirty. Like I don't want to like pimp out my shelter. Like that's not, you know, they're going to support me because they love us and they love what they do. And that's the only kind of support that I want. We were just joking today, like while these other places are having like fancy galas and all this stuff, like, yeah, we're going to be over here saving the animals. So, you know, you guys go party, but we're going to stay here and do what we do. And by the grace of God, I'm literally a one day at a time kind of girl. So.
Well, you know, and it's worked. It's worked for you.
Amen. I mean, yeah. And I literally say that, like, if that's not a true testament that I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing, what I was made to do, I mean, it's worked. And we are in an old car wash building. It's funny, I serve on a board in Harrisburg, and prior to COVID, I would have to drive there every 3 months for these meetings. And people would say, "Oh my gosh, I know the Anna shelter. We want to come there. We want." And I was always like, "Oh God, no!" Like, it's an old car wash. It's a dump, And I showed you guys when you were there. Like, I don't have an office, and that's fine. I don't want an office. And if I did have one, I'd want to be with all the people anyway. You know what I mean? I don't want to be holed up in an office, and I want to be with everybody in the action. I'm literally have pee, poop, hair, vomit on me pretty much every day. So that's what I want.
Well, and when we visited, I wasn't expecting anything, painted bright white and beautiful because, I mean, this is a working shelter and
Absolutely.
you have animals coming in and out
All day
all the
long.
time. I don't know how many calls you had while we were there just visiting with you for what, a couple hours?
It's crazy. I mean, the volume that we see, and I don't expect people to understand. I'm so thankful that you guys came to visit because, people don't understand how busy it gets and how emotionally draining it is. And it's not just physically taxing, mentally taxing. I mean, it is emotionally a drain on on my staff. And I'm so cognizant of that and always trying to keep them upbeat. And it's hard being the fearless leader, I'm not gonna lie, but I try to maintain that level of support to them as well because I know how hard it is. And we are high volume. It's crazy. Glad
And
you
that
got
was
to
one of the
enjoy it.
things I wanted to touch up is the emotional toll. I just know how I am personally, so I can only go by how I am. Certain things, and especially when it comes to animals, slam me, literally slam me. And sometimes it stops me in my tracks. There's certain things I literally just cannot handle. I want to help, and I can help in what way I can, but there are certain things I could not do what you do. Because my brain, which is like mama bear mode, would be like, where are these humans that did this? And that's me being really honest. So I couldn't, and I'm sure you have those feelings at times as well, but you're able to flick some sort of switch. I don't know if I could do that. I love helping and donating and doing what I can to. Okay, so example, the book.
The book, yeah,
Paw Prints on the
fantastic.
Couch is, it's a book, and I'm like, I want to help, but how can I do it? So part of creating this book was to be able to help the Anna Shelter. Now we're working on a second book,
So
and
exciting.
proceeds from that will help. So that's something that can be ongoing. It might not be a lot, but
Girl,
every
every penny
quarter
counts.
I'm gonna give you what I can every
I
quarter. So
love
one
that.
quarter, it might be $30. The other, it might be a couple hundred. I
Doesn't
don't know.
matter. Yeah, it doesn't
But
matter.
that's
We
how
appreciate
I
it.
feel I can best help and still keep my sanity.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Because, and I don't, I just, I honestly, I've got to applaud you, seriously, because just when we had visited you, and I truly do appreciate the time that you gave us that day, because we were there quite a while. And folks, you listening, we didn't just go and visit. We brought a cameraman with us.
Yeah,
And,
it was
yeah, we brought a
okay.
cameraman with us from the local cable company channel down here that does neighborhood stories in the area that we live in. And so, we were recording that we had him, he was walking around with his television camera recording and all. So we kind of came in not quietly, but and you gave us the time and just seeing the operation and how, and we were just in one building of six. You were just in one, all the animals and the dogs and all your folks there, not a single one of them were standing around doing nothing. They were all working, cleaning and feeding and moving and walking. And I can't imagine the amount, and even for the volunteers, that emotional toll. So getting back to what I was originally starting to talk about, I know that you said, yeah, you were honest and you said, yeah, it's pretty tough at times, but you also said, and I caught this, that you try and stay upbeat and keep it upbeat for your staff. What is it that you do when you notice one of them, they might be faltering, or it's just like, oh my, I can't do this today. I just can't do it.
It happens. Yesterday, I had a staff member really break down. But I'm a Christian. My faith is really strong. So, I mean, for me, prayer, and even if their faith is different, I always keep those I say girls, but we have a lot of guys on staff now too. Keep them in prayer. And I try, I'm just a very silly person by nature. Like I'm always joking around. And my new joke is like, if I'm not laughing, I'd be crying. So I'm always like, I'm always joking around with them. And we play music in the office. Like we try to do fun things together once a month. I try to take them somewhere outside of the shelter so we can just have a break and have a good time together. But I'm very aware of food. I mean, food's a great motivator. I'm feeding those guys all the time. But just, and just, I always let them know, like, hey, I'm sad too. Like, hey, I know this is hard. I know today was tough and I know the stuff we dealt with was hard and it's okay if you feel sad and, we get through it together. And I try to always, I would never ask them to do something I wouldn't do myself. And I'm right there with them. I'm right on boots on the ground. Like I'm there with those guys doing what they do, or I have done what they do. And I think that helps. I think they know that I'm passionate and I'm compassionate and I have a lot of empathy and I just try to live it. I try to live it and try to let them know that this is, I know it's hard. And we have a thing called tap out. And because sometimes it's not the animals, it's the people, that we're dealing with. And, I'm like, just tap out, give it to somebody else, And I'm joking, like if I ever do have to write a resume, like conflict resolution, because I've gotten really good at, talking to people. And I think even with people, if you put yourself in their position, my dad, my family was huge in the treat others how you want to be treated department. And I still live that to this day. Like I try to turn a situation around and think, okay, if I was on the other end of that phone, how do I want to be treated, respectfully and with compassion. And I think that's how I lead my staff. I jokingly used to say, like, one time one of them made a comment like, oh, mom's here. And I was like, whoa, wait, like, I'll be your cool aunt. Like, I don't want to be your mom. Like, yeah. Like, I feel like I'm too young to be their mom, but probably the truth is I could be half of their, more than half of their mothers, but I don't want to be. So I'd rather be their cool aunt. But I think that's just so important, treating them well and rewarding them. However, I try to always make sure that I'm aware of that for those guys.
Now, you said you have, let's see, about 50 regular volunteers.
Yeah.
How does that, do you have a big turnover with volunteers or do you find
No.
that they come and stay? And is there like an age range of what your typical volunteer is?
Funny, that's a good question because we can tell really quickly. You're either going to come in once and never come back. And there are reasons. The compassion thing is hard. People, oh, I can't, it was so hard for me to see the dogs in cages and they look so sad. They do. Sometimes they do look sad. Or they might come in on a day when there's a big cruelty case and animals are coming in that are in bad shape or upset. And so that, I get it. And I respect that. They can't handle that. So I try to turn it around and say, well, hey, like, what about hosting a donation drive at work? Like, what about, doing something like that? So you're still helping. You just don't physically have to be here. Some people are, they have weak stomachs and they don't like smells or they don't like seeing poop or whatever. And that's okay. Like I get that. But man, then I get the ones that, I call them my lifers. I mean, they've been with me for 10, 12, 15 years. And I mean, they work just as hard as my staff and they are so dedicated. And I've got a couple of them, big shout out like Patty, Jerry, Jeff, some of these volunteers that just, they just show up. There's a lady, her name's Rose. She's 93. She drives herself to the shelter every Tuesday. And I love this lady. Like, I want to be her. I want to be that way when I'm 93. And she's fantastic. So, yeah, they do. They pull their weight. And it's nice because my staff's responsible for the hardcore, the cleaning, the medicating. So the time that they don't have, even though I do have a whole schedule or a whole shift on our schedule called enrichment. And that shift is, you better be entertaining those animals. Like whether those girls are fantastic, the stuff they come up with, oh my God, so proud of them. But the volunteers help with enrichment, and that's important, to keep those animals' minds stimulated, their bodies stimulated. The volunteers play a big role in that. So they're great. It's like a family,
I was just gonna say it's like an extended family.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When we were there, there was an older lady. She was in with the cats. Okay. And she said, I come in once a week to help feed the cats. And I come in on Mondays.
Oh, Barb and Judy. Barb and Judy. There's two of them.
Okay. I just met the one. And she was
it's probably Barb because Barb never misses. Judy still travels with her husband. Barb's widowed. And she is so dedicated. Yes, that's Barb.
And she was just so lovely. You could tell that she was just a lovely soul to meet.
She is.
I so enjoyed meeting her, and her whole demeanor just lit up because she just happened to be feeding the cats when we
Yeah.
went into the cat room when we were being shown around. And you know, like, well, so what do you do here? And she goes, oh, I volunteer and I come here on Mondays, and
That's
I like
wonderful.
to come here right after the weekend and know that I can be of a little bit extra help, and I do this. And it was just wonderful to meet her. And so for volunteers, because in the cat room, it's quite a bit quieter than out where the dogs are.
For sure.
If someone wants to volunteer, are they able to say, can I work with the cats and the
Oh,
birds?
absolutely. Yeah. There's people that want to just fold laundry or people that just want to make phone calls and the follow-up phone calls. So yeah, you kind of tell us where you feel like you fit in, and every bit of help is appreciated, you know. So wherever you're comfortable, wherever you fit in, we've got a spot for you. And like you said, age range. We had a little boy today, he was 11. And I do, if they're under 16, 16 is kind of a cutoff. I have like a parent has to be around, because in the beginning, I'm like, I'm not, I have a daughter, I adore her, but I'm not a small child person. I just can't, I just don't, I've never, you know, so I don't want to babysit your kids. So if you come in with them, we absolutely have programs and things that they can do. But my average volunteer, like I've got some, you know, high school kids that come in on the regular, but my average volunteer are retired people, you know, that come in that have the time, that are looking to dedicate some time. But again, I have people that come once or twice and are fulfilling an obligation. And then I have other people that get hooked, you know, and they love it. So.
Awesome. And or like you had said, and I think it's worth re-mentioning, as you had said, you know, some folks come in, they're like, you know, I just can't do this, and you give them other options of
Yeah.
ways to help, like hold a donation drive at work or what have you, whatever they
Yeah.
might come up with, you know. And I think that's an awesome thing
Thanks.
because every little bit helps. And I know this simply because we had talked off mic prior. You've been doing this for 20 years. A friend of mine and I, we do stuff to help veterans, and we've been doing that for 24 years. So I know exactly what you're talking about when it's like every little bit helps, whether it's a $10 donation or $10,000.
Yeah,
It's all the
absolutely.
same because it's helping, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
And so do you accept donations of like beds or rugs or towels or food, what have you?
Everything. So we actually have a thrift shop. It went virtual after COVID. Yeah, so it went virtual. But we do still have three in-person sales a year. We have one in May, one in July, and one in September. And so I joke with people, but I'm like, don't throw it away. Like, we will, if we can't use it, we'll sell it in the rummage sale. Or I like pride myself in playing well with others. And I'm friends with some different directors of other nonprofits that are human-based. And a lot, you know, I one time Sam's Club's amazing, so good to us. But they had an overrun, brand new, like beautiful bath towels. They were nicer than the ones I had at home, brand new, still had the wrapping on them and stuff. So I called one of the girls at Community Shelter Services, and I was like, Diane, look, man, why don't you give me all your old ones that are, you know, stained or whatever, and we'll switch and like let some humans, you know, use these really nice bath towels, and I'll take the crappy ones because we're just gonna have pee and poop and blood on them here before the end of the day. So, you know, I do stuff like that to you know, to also try to give back and try to share the love where we can. But I'll tell you, yeah, you wouldn't believe the stuff that we can use. I mean, office supplies, cleaning supplies, you name it, we can use it. So
So on your website, which is theannashelter.com, correct?
Yep.
That will be in the show notes, folks. But on your website, is there a list of or an area where it says how you can help, or a list of items that are typically needed?
Yes, there should be a tab on there that tells you things we use every day. But also, just so you know, like I am the finance person, the marketing person, the HR person, the social media person, like that's all me.
I don't even know how you fit what you do into a 24-hour day. But not only do you do everything we just talked about, but you also, twice a week, you're on the TV, the local
Yeah.
news station
Yeah.
in our area in Pennsylvania. And once a week, you're also on two different radio stations
Yeah.
talking about, you know, the shelter and the needs and what have
Yeah.
you.
Helping, you know, further my mission. And the more people that know about us, the more animals I can help. So, and I'll tell you what, and this is going to sound like so bad. So I know people that don't really know me. I hope you get to know me because you'll understand when I say this. So I have PTSD from an experience that happened to me about 5 years ago. And one of the things I struggle with is people knowing my name. And, you know, even though I've been through therapy for it, you know, everybody knows my name because I'm associated with the Anna Shelter, but I struggle at times when people will come up to me and, you know, hey, Ruth, and they want to start talking. And there's that moment that's much better than it was, but there's that moment of, you know, I'm nervous. Like, how do they know me? What do they want? And then I'm like, okay, wait, Ruth, you know, and I, you know, if anybody that has suffered or knows about it, it's, you know, you learn to reprocess thoughts in your brain, but sometimes you can't. So there's that. And so it's a blessing to be on TV, to be recognized. I can't even imagine, you know, people with true celebrity status. It's got to be mind-blowing and just a horrible experience. Yeah, and I, like I said, I appreciate it and I love that people love the shelter. I love that they support us. I love that they love me and not necessarily me, but what we do. And but it's also like it's hard sometimes when you want privacy or when I want to just be left alone. And you know, a 10-minute quick run to grab, you know, groceries or milk or something turns into an hour and a half because people want to talk. And that's great. And I'm so thankful. So I don't want to come across like I don't appreciate it. But if you ever, you know, people meet me and I seem like a little nervous or a little sketched out, it's probably my PTSD kicking in and I just want to run and get back to my car. But
I live with PTSD as well.
yeah, great.
Everything you said, and I know, folks, you can only listen to this. You're not seeing us, but the whole time she's talking, I'm sitting here nodding my head, yes, like, yep, I get it. I get it. I understand.
And
And
I think that's one of the reasons I have such respect for the military, the police, for first responders, for people keeping us safe, because I can't imagine like being in that position or having to, you know, knowingly go into one of those positions or circumstances or events or situations. Like I know I couldn't do it. So, but you know, but here we are, you and I, we're doing
And
it.
here
So
we
that's
are.
awesome.
Here we
Yeah,
are.
we're doing it, girl.
We're still standing, man.
Yeah, we are. We're doing great.
Still standing. You know what I've found? And you and I think are actually really good examples of this right now as we're talking about this PTSD. Those that have been through traumatic experiences are the ones that are out there, boots on the ground, helping those in need.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to agree with you. I mean, 'cause yeah, I have so much respect for what you do and how all the help that you're putting out there into the world and the positive message. I've been listening to your stuff. Like, that's so important. I just think helping other people, it's what I was made for. And so it's great that there are other people like me. So love it.
And you know, and there, I think there's more than what we realize. But I also think, because I'm a Christian as well. You mentioned that you were a Christian. I'm a Christian as well, and I know that that helps me.
Absolutely.
And I certainly would not. I'm not a Bible thumper, and I'm not going to try and shove my beliefs on anyone because that's your
Amen.
journey, not my journey. I know what works for me.
Yep,
You know, and
exactly.
I know what my beliefs are, and I embrace them, and that helps me through the day and through anything that might be shoved in my face, just as I'm sure what you're doing on a day-to-day basis with the animals. You
I
said
probably
that's almost your buffer. It's your buffer. It's what keeps you sane.
I can't tell you how many times I say, like, people say, how do you do this? I'm like, by the grace of God. And I literally mean that. Like, I literally mean, there are times I pull in the parking lot and, like, I have a very, like, personal relationship where God and I just chit chat. And I was like, I'll say, like, okay, man, you know, you wanted me to do this. Like, let's go. Like, give me the strength. Like, give me the wisdom. You know, let the right words come out of my mouth or let the right people to come through the door that today. You know, and I just, and there's times it's funny, like sometimes I get mad at God, you know, and I'll just be like, what are you doing? Like, I'm a firm believer that people come into your life for a reason. And someday I swear, I know you're an author. I'll have to sit down with you. If I could tell you the stories, like I need to write a book, like the craziest things that have come into my life, people and situations that, I mean, are truly to me, like they're just godsend. And I was always raised in a very Christian home with great values. And I was always the girl that, you know, that was just me and people knew that about me. It was part of my core values. And so back in the day, like college and high school, people were kind of like, oh, whatever, Ruth, you know. And then with a name like Ruth, you know, I'm named after a book in the Bible, you know.
Right.
But I loved watching the shift of my friends saying like, hey, can you pray for me? Like, I'm really stressed about this. Can you pray for me? And I'm all about it. Like I always say like, yeah, but you can pray for yourself, but yeah, for sure. I'll totally pray for you. And so I love watching, Like I would way rather live my faith than, like you said, I'm not a Bible thumper. I don't go to church. I don't like my church is riding my horse in the middle of the woods and being as close to God as I can in nature. You know, that's
And you
my
know, and
church.
people go to church once a week. And I mean, I do too.
Yeah.
I've done it for years and years, but where I find the strongest connection of my faith with him is every morning before the sun rises, my dog and I are outside walking for at least a half an hour.
Girl, I love that. I love the sunrise. I'm way more into, I feel like sunrise is God's way of saying, like, here you go. Here's a new chance. I'm the same. I love a good sunrise. And that is my church. And honestly, again, I used to go to church and the PTSD thing, I struggle even now with crowds. So the church I was going to was one of those really big churches. And I loved the energy. I loved the sermons. And I had to stop going for a while. And now it's the same thing. Like I've going through some tough times in my life ever. And sometimes I'll break down in church and I'll start crying. Well, now if it happens, somebody's like, oh, Ruth was crying. Like, what's wrong? And then I'm like, geez, I don't need that. You know? So
Yeah.
I just, I'm more, it's more private for me. But yeah, I grew up going to church. I grew up going to church every
I
Sunday, you
completely
know?
understand everything you're saying.
Yay. This is great. New friends.
Seriously, 100%. I just keep like my head, I'm like a bobblehead right now. My head's
Yeah.
just nodding and
It's true. Yeah.
been there, done that. Yep, know what
Yeah.
you're talking about.
It's so nice to like, yeah. And I think too, that's another thing in the world, like knowing that you're not alone, knowing that someone else has gone through something. Or my dad used to always say to me, like, somebody's got it worse than you. Like, yeah, you're having a bad day, but you're whatever, you have a headache. Well, somebody just found out that they're dying. Like, okay, so nurse your headache, you'll be fine. So it
Right.
was always that kind of a thing. So I think I find solace in knowing that I'm not alone. I'm not the only person going through something.
Right. Yes, and it is, and it can be because it's so easy to pull yourself or let yourself fall into that dark little pit.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh my gosh, you know, and I am not one who has ever been, I never pull out a woe is me card.
Oh, girl, no way. No, poor me.
And yeah, no. Now, have I had a pity party? I honestly, I can't even say I've had pity parties, but I can say, wow, that day really sucked. God,
Yeah.
that one sucked. What was the lesson I was supposed to learn?
Yeah.
You know?
You can't have a testimony without a test. Yeah, it's hard. That refiner's fire, like there's days it's not easy. Something amazing comes out of that. So,
That is right. That is right.
yeah.
And I think, like I said earlier, with the at least the folks that I know that are out there really in the nitty-gritty helping, whether it's animals or people, is that they're doing, they
Aaron.
have suffered their own trauma. You know, you don't get through life without suffering something.
Yeah.
You're just not going to. And if you haven't yet, well, sweet pea, you will. You
It's
know,
coming. Yeah, get ready.
it's
But you'll make
guaranteed.
it, and think about too, and I know you've got some of the same issues I do, things that I thought were going to kill me didn't, I'm still here. And so a lot of times when I'm in a situation where I feel horrible or I'm upset, I'm thinking like, you know what, Ruth, you're going to make it through this. You've made it through these things before. And another thing, I know I reference my dad a lot. My dad and I are really close. He was diagnosed with leukemia and was told he only had 4 months to live. He ended up living 14 months. And he would say, like, and I remember, well, I'm going to go feel sorry for myself for 10 minutes and then I'll be back. And he would go and sit in the other room and, cry or whatever he had to do. And then he'd come back and he'd be right back at it. So a lot of times, I'll say to one of the girls, like, all right, go pout for 10 minutes, go feel bad, and then come back and let's get back to work. We got stuff to do. We got animals that need us. To acknowledge it, to not swallow those
Right.
feelings, and then let it go. Let go, let God is one of my other big things I always say. And I love the name of your podcast. I think about that because I pray every day that God lets me walk in fear and faith and not fear, And so I love that that's the name of your podcast.
Well, that wraps up part one, folks, of my conversation with Ruth Thompson, the founder of the Anna Shelter, located in Erie, Pennsylvania. Be sure you tune in next Wednesday so you can catch part two, where she shares more about how she runs the shelter with faith over fear. Be sure you tune in next week. And if you want to listen to any other episodes, folks, you can listen to them on any of your listening platforms or podcasts, as well as don't forget to go on over and check out the YouTube page, called Let Fear Bounce. Please like and subscribe there too. Every little bit helps us get the word out there and tossing more nuggets of hope out into the world to make my slice of the world and your own slice of the world a little bit of a better place. Everybody be well, stay well, and be blessed. This is Kim Langling. Until next week.